A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello everyone, it is the Instant Match Reaction. I'm joined outside Anfield by Bailey Shaw. Bailey, hi.
Hello.
Yeah, and just not an extra from E17 for those watching the video version. Love that.
This is a brilliant addition.
It's
not waterproof.
Yeah.
It's got a shit hood, so it can't keep me dry, but it is very warm.
Mm, sounds like, which to be fair, you needed today because it has been Baltic at Anfield. Good thing the weather didn't play a negative part in Liverpool's performance. 4-2. Yeah. How are you feeling overall?
Very good. It was my first time in the Kop, so that was a very mad experience for me. And from the get-go, it was like from their goal. And the way where we conceded it, and the way the crowd reacted, and you could tell, like, it's almost like when you were like trying to start on a bear with a party popper.
Yeah.
You know, it made the fans, it made the crowd just absolutely roar, and it was straight up for it from the start, so yeah, feel good.
It was mad because you're right, I think the game started, I don't think we came out the blocks, and Burnley were okay. I think they did this quite well in both halves, to be fair. I think they were okay, they limited us. We didn't look like we were absolutely going to smash it off the back. It didn't look like it was going to be one of those cut and thrust games for us. It looked like we'd have to take our time and ease into it. And then they get the goal, and Alisson Becker ends up getting booked for his reaction to that, which I think told you everything. Now it's right down in front of me. Yeah. I haven't seen it back since, but for me it looked like there was three Burnley lads just completely swamping him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, if that's like a Karius on a Mignolet, I'm going, oh well, he's not been strong enough. I'm never accusing Alisson Becker of not being strong enough. It looks to me like they've had a game plan there. It's the cause problems. The ball goes straight in, and it looked a foul all day.
Oh man, we saw it half time. A guy was sat next to us, showed us it, and a guy was literally on his shoulders, sort of like comes over the top of him, clear foul.
Yeah.
And you could tell by the way he reacted, he doesn't lose his head. You can tell he's like Superman. He's very cool.
Yeah.
And he knows if an error is made, it's most of the time it's not him.
Yeah.
And you could tell this guy over here, he was saying that he was on his way back. He was giving his badge a tap. You could see that. Proper passion player.
He was raging about it because he charged out. I love that because that's the thing. You know, we take our cues from the players at times and their reactions and stuff. And I think we all knew it was a foul. But when you see him, you go, yeah. So we all got behind it.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. It's one of those moments of adversity that I hope we look back on it in a positive light come the end of the season, because I think there's a feeling an underlying current, and I think a lot of it's coming from being generated from outside of Liverpool. That everyone's head's going to fall off, that Liverpool are going to absolutely capitulate now, Man City are just going to canter to the league title. And when that goal goes in, I think that was a decision point there from the players. I think it from the fans. We could have just gone, well, there you go, typical. It's been thrown away. We could have allowed ourselves to get down, but you're right, the way Alisson reacted and the way the fans got up, and then the way the players on the pitch reacted, they said, no, fuck that. We believe that was unjust, and we believe we're going to fight from now on.
Yeah, and it shows a stark difference between Twitter and being in the game, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm sure I haven't had any signals, so I haven't seen the reaction of people from the start of the game, and I can imagine it's like, here we go again.
Yeah.
Stand Liverpool. But it reminded me of Arsenal.
Yeah.
You know, when Iwobi scores that goal at Arsenal, and it's genuinely like poking a monkey poking a lion. And it was like, it pissed the fans off, it pissed the players off.
Yeah.
And
it's got a whole box full of animal references.
Exactly. That's why I'm here.
Don't poke the bear. Is a good one.
Yeah, So, but no, it was ironically sort of it's what we needed. Cause like you say, we weren't in the game. It's like a slap around the face, isn't it? To wake you up and get you in the game.
But it was weird though. It was kind of like there was just that underlying thing, and you don't feel happy. happy with it and stuff. And this is one of those games where talk about these all the time, because the atmosphere was fine for Burnley at home
and a 12 o'clock kickoff
and all those things. The atmosphere was okay,
yeah.
But we needed that goal, and we needed it. There was a point where I was just thinking, I need this Liverpool side to show me something. We need to see that they can go out there. And it's all well and good, because it was great. Trent looked bang up for it, and Alisson and all these lads, they clearly wanted to turn the tables. One thing wanting to turn the tables, but Burnley, very well organised side, very well disciplined side. They got some good defenders, the goalkeeper's good. Mm-hmm. We've seen those games. I've come to Anfield and watched. We use bus parking now in the modern vernacular. We use that a lot, but you get my point. Defensive teams come to Liverpool and either stifle us for the draw or nick a cheeky goal, and then we end up losing the draw in that. But the way to go and get ourselves back into the game, I thought, was absolutely massive.
Yeah.
And once we got to 1-1, it never felt to me anyway like we were going to do anything other than win that game.
No, absolutely. And it was like that frustration just washed away. And you could tell from the get-go, Burnley were there to just shit out it. Like they were wasting time in the corner after about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And you could tell if we'd have let our heads drop, that's the way the game would have finished.
Yeah.
But the mentality to get straight back out there, and the way the players reacted was brilliant. And I think that it's very easy when you can see a goal like that to just drop.
Well, you could have looked at it, because look at the Man City game against Watford yesterday.
Yeah.
They get an incredibly lucky decision with an offside,
yeah.
And Watford's heads go.
Yeah.
And look, we're a different calibre to Watford, of course, but on the flip side, City got something that went for them and they just kicked on.
Mm-hmm.
We had something that went against us, and that would have been a perfect excuse for us to not do it. But no, we kick on, and it's funny because I think of the front three, Mo Salah's probably going to end up with the least praise of the front three, and him driving into the box and picking up on loose things. He could have had two penalties in that game.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's to his detriment in the sense that he doesn't get the goal, but he's the one that works the hardest for the goals. And you look back when we do the stats and stuff, he averages like 9 dribbles a game, which is nuts. And I was saying to Tom, when you're playing on that right hand side, you're going to have a man marking you every single game.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually why when he was in the centre, he got more goals this season, because you can't really put two centre halves on him.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. When he comes in and he goes down for both, but they're both penalties from where I was sitting.
Yeah.
And it's only because Mane and Firmino both tap in that he doesn't end up standing up and taking the penalty himself.
Yeah.
So I think Salah had a fantastic game, to be fair.
Yeah, it's another one of those games, I think, and we mentioned this the other day about how if Salah gets a goal, everyone's talking about what a fantastic all round performance and how he was a constant threat.
Mm-hmm.
But because he's so much become our main man,
mm-hmm.
that people are now looking at it going, people will instead, it just means we're going to have another week, another round of these, here's the games that Mo Salah's not scored in. Mo mm-hmm. Salah, flop, blah, blah, blah. All these fucking sociopathic AIDS social media accounts who are just, you know, banter stats and looking for clicks. The good thing is Liverpool fans, we can kind of switch off. We can kind of park Mo Salah, I think, for now. I'm sure we'll pick up more on him on the final word tomorrow.
Yeah,
but
if
the performances of his forward compatriot, as it were, Roberto Firmino, not scored enough goals for me this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we need him. If he's going to play in that nine, he's still the best option for it. And that was exactly the Bobby Firmino that we needed today.
His finishing was brilliant, and it's the when he comes deep, how we always talk about how Bobby's such an interdimensional player in the sense that he's got so much more to his game than just being a number nine.
Yeah.
And that some of the balls he was playing, when he comes deep, he always finds Trent, he finds Robertson, he creates that link what we sometimes miss, which I think Lallana did very well at the same time.
Yeah.
But when Lallana's a bit deeper, but we need Bobby to come back and play a 10 as well as a 9.
Yeah.
And I think that he does that brilliantly, and I think, like you say, him and Mane. How many goals is Mane behind now?
Yeah,
is it one?
Yeah, not many.
And it's a case of when your main man Salah's being cursed by this 50 goal stat or whatever, that you need these guys to step up. And Mane's been brilliant the last 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
And this is a great show that Firmino can do the job against these low block sides.
The thing that we've been a little bit lacking in is clinical finishing. And I think the thing what we've got, I hope it's something that's got referenced in his pre-match press conference about how they've had time to work on things in training. And I wonder whether there was a little bit of that. And we'll talk about Lallana in a second, but that thing of if you know that it's not going, if you know that Salah's not 100% clicking, then get people around him. Now
absolutely,
that can be hard because he's so fast,
but
look for bits and pieces. If it's not going to work for you, you've got to be prepared for second balls. And I think it's funny because, you know, we talk about the gegenpressing a lot since Klopp's come in, and how Adam Lallana is one of the essential players to the Klopp gegenpress, and we've not had him available to us for so long. And look, there will be standard tests for Lallana, and this is, you know, I don't want to be this is Lallana, perfect Lallana, he's the answer to all of our problems.
Yeah.
That was a very good performance. That was his best performance in quite a long time
absolutely.
For Liverpool. But let's drill down on, let's not worry about the wider picture of that.
Mm-hmm.
Lallana in tandem with Roberto Firmino made that team tick today.
Oh, definitely. And I was saying to Tom in the ground, I was like, are we playing a 4-3-3? He's like, yeah. So he's playing in that top end of the midfield, and that's his perfect role, because you can say Lallana's lost his pace, you can say he's lost his physicality, but he hasn't lost his close control. Mm-hmm. He's the best player, I think, with dribbling at his feet, and that's exactly what you need in that hole. When you've got a low block team that aren't going to let you sort of around easily, you need a guard that can just stand there and move it quickly.
Yeah.
And it maybe wasn't as quick as you'd like, but he's not played in a long time, and I think that he's always, if you look on Twitter, he's like, oh, he's not scored, or he hasn't scored or assisted in like 40 games. But it's like, it's knowing when to bring him in, and his injuries that are holding him back.
Yeah, we keep saying this. Look, a bit of Jadon Shaqiri. I know there's a lot of Jadon Shaqiri. He's got a lot of fans, and Keita's got fans, and fair play. We should be supporting every Liverpool player. Yeah. I don't get the annoyance with it. I mean, I understand, because if you look at it on a basic level, there was a tweet going around, you're right, in terms of what the goals and assists that the Lallana's contributed to in X amount of minutes. And then Shaqiri and Keita, neither of those players were good enough to do the job. They'd be playing in the team today, because you don't spend that kind of money on those players, and they've had an impact. Klopp's shown a willingness to put them in the side. Mm. They've played games for us this season, but they've clearly not. And you can see it from Keita when he came on the pitch, by the way, that just, you can see where the player is, but you can see why we probably don't fully trust him in tight games. Yeah. And what you saw from Lallana is, you're absolutely dead right. And we mentioned this last week, and I think I posted it to Chris, because he'd done the stats and tactics and said, well, sides have worked Liverpool out.
Yeah.
They're encouraging us to play wide. And I said, well, we need to play more through the middle. He said, well, no, you can't, because you've got to play where they tell you. He said, no, fuck that. Liverpool need to go, no, okay, you're saying we can't play it. Why can't we play it? Oh, because it's a bit tight. Well, we're going to go and get some really good footballers in there instead.
Exactly.
And that's the difference. And I think Oxlade-Chamberlain coming back is going to be a massive boost if we get him back. Yep. And I'm not putting too much hope on that yet. But like, look at what we've got in terms of those in our midfield options. I think Gini's got a decent touch, but Lallana has got the best
close
touch
control
of anyone in our midfield. And look, you're right, in a wider sense, he doesn't score loads of goals, he doesn't get loads of assists, but you just need someone who's got the bravery in possession, and that made the big difference. It showed to Burnley, we're not scared to use, we're going to play our game.
Yeah, and you don't need, of course you need a goal scoring midfielder. Oxlade-Chamberlain is that guy. Yeah. And when he's not there, you take attributes of his game that still got us the goals from last season, and that is the hold at play, the quick pass, and the vision.
Yeah.
I think that people forget, because obviously of his injuries 2 seasons ago, he was our best midfielder, and he's still that same guy. He's the same. He's a bit like Sturridge in the sense he loses attributes, but he's still very game smart, very game aware. And you need that experience sometimes against teams like Burnley, where if you put a Keita in, you're risking him playing a wayward pass and then getting on the break. You're playing any of these midfield, like Shaqiri, the same sort of scenario. Is he going to do the defensive work? So Lallana, for me, I saw it, and I was, you get burdened with the team news and then 50,000 people going, ugh, Lallana, and it makes you think, oh mate, is this the right choice?
Yeah.
But then when you break it down, why not?
And moreover, I think, you know, when you're a more level-headed fan, and you want to see the best and you believe the best, and you just want to support the lads who got on the pitch, which seems to be a bit of a fucking dying breed on social media, unfortunately. I don't know why. Maybe just not enough people raised right, and how to support the football club, I don't know, like, but it wasn't how I was raised, certainly.
It's a different era, isn't it?
No, exactly, but you know, look at Lallana, that performance, you know, a couple of people who were, again, rolling their eyes at him coming off the bench in recent weeks, we've been building him up to this performance. Yeah. You don't just drop people in out the cold and expect them to be absolute worldies, because ultimately when you're super world class, you can do that, but you know, you can only have so many world class players in your team, and the rest of the players have just got to have fight, heart, desire and skill in addition to that, and Lallana has got all of those things.
Yeah.
Keep coming back to it, he's just been very, very unlucky at times, and I also think that I don't think Klopp's done him a lot of favours since then.
Mm.
We've played him on the wing, we've played him up front. What do you want? Adam Lallana wasn't good enough to play on the wing for Liverpool when we signed him. You know, he was too slow to be impactful in there.
Yeah.
But you're right, get him back to where he can impact things. He's got the engine. He loves pressing. He loves getting stuck in. He loves trying to win the ball back, putting people on the back foot.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves taking possession of the ball and feeding people.
Yeah,
and that was exactly what we needed.
And the interesting thing is, if Klopp brings Dejan Lovren into this game, there's no complaints, because it's Dejan Lovren, because that people feel like he's more of a trusted player. But what's the difference in if you're going to switch Lovren in the same way if you put Lallana in there?
Yeah.
For me, there's very little difference, and the reaction is just that whole vendettaism that I think we have in this.
And also, there's, you know, I think on FIFA and on Footy Manager, there is probably a clear hierarchy of Liverpool's best players.
And I
do it. You know, whenever I play Pro Evo, I put, you know, until the update, I'd put Klein in at right back. Because Klein's a better right back on computer games. I would have my list of players. Doesn't work like that in reality.
Yeah.
And Klopp mentioned it pre-match. the reason Lallana's in is because Lallana is doing the business in training. Yeah. That's what he sees. We're only privy to the stuff that we see. You know, we see in the matches, and we can't help but go, well, why isn't this player playing? When we look at, we keep going back to these stats. Jayden Shaqiri has been shit since 2019, and Naby Keita has not done enough. And then you've got James Milner, who's had an injury problem. Why not Adam Lallana? And if he's doing the business and training, Klopp trusts him once again. And you know, there'd be no point for any of this content if we just boil it down to this point. But Jürgen knows more than we do about football. And once again, shock. The man who's got us to a Premier League title chance, who's took us to a European Cup final, a UEFA Cup final, all that kind of stuff, happens to have a few clear ideas and good ideas on what he's got available to him, what players can do. So great. A couple of little disappointing performance. I thought Trent was a little bit off today, and I thought Matip wasn't the best either.
Yeah, Trent's definitely one of them. His delivery just wasn't as sharp, because I think that's why you have Trent there. And his space making that he has is always the best asset to his game. Is you always need that outlet on the right hand side. And you see when Virgil and Robbo take it, they always look, because they always know that there's an option there if they don't want to play it inside.
He performed the role correctly, but you're right. It was the final ball. It was the weight or the heft on the passes and stuff like that. Disappointed a little bit, and I'm Matip again. You know, it was lucky we kind of got away with it. Not a great performance, but again, there's games where everyone needs to be 10 out of 10. It was something Jürgen said about, you know, in the summer.
Yeah.
We need to get better at winning games when we're not at the absolute peak of our powers. And I think for me, that was another example of that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly how, if we're going to keep in this title race, we have to win these games. You look at City's, like before Watford, it was 2-1 nils, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They're showing the Liverpool of the start of this season. You're scaring me. You can grind with, like, Brighton at home, where last season, Brighton, I can't remember what it was, and it's getting that mentality back, because you've got to look at the last few fixtures, aside from Tottenham, Chelsea, and maybe Wolves. Obviously, they're Wolves who come and give you a game. It's going to be a lot of teams that are going to low block. They've got not got much to lose, or they have got much to lose if they're in a relegation battle like Fulham. And it's a case where you've got to be prepared for that. And again, that's exactly why I think he brought Lallana in, because he's the guy that can suit these games.
Yeah.
And it's going back to that Liverpool of the start of the season, which has weaned off the last few months, and just realising you can concede one, you can concede two. If you win, who cares?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what I really like about that, we were talking a lot about the stories and the mentality around things. I don't like this keeping the pressure on things, because it became a bit of a Spurs meme, didn't it?
Yeah,
and it's a shame that we live that we can't talk about it in a positive sense, because inevitably it's people going, well, we shouldn't have to put the pressure on because we were top of the league and we had points, blah, 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 blah. It's done. So Liverpool are where they are. There's a spell of games, and I said this, I think I might have said it, I've got a vlog coming out on my channel anyway on Mates TV, and the thing is that this is the running now. We're in the running. We weren't in a title challenge until now. Everything that's happened till now, I think it's fair to say that's the middle of the season. You've got the start of the season when you don't look at the table. You've got the middle stretch when you just try and win as many games as you can. And then now, in the last 10 games, this is when it matters.
Yep.
This is when you know because if you fall out of a title challenge before now, Arsenal would have been in so many title challenges. Everyone would, you know, we were in a title challenge because you were in a title challenge in January. No, you're not in a title challenge unless you are in it when you start to get into April.
That's
when the real business of it happens. So I think Liverpool are in that strong position. We've got to draw a line under what's gone before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the way that the fixtures run now, if Liverpool just get back into the habit of winning games, that would be great. And what I liked about today ultimately is, because we can talk about this now because we won, we went a goal down, and I can fucking guarantee you the Man City team WhatsApp group would have been going ape shit.
I literally had a Manchester United fan in my pocket. Went the second it went in, it said you can hear a pin drop in Anfield, and it's like, fuck off.
Yeah, and they'd have been going, oh, lads, seen the score, oh, barely a beating Liverpool. And I bet they'll have all dived on BT or whatever and got it up, and then just watched us. Apart, you know, yes, they got the single, but Burnley didn't touch us today.
Nah, Liverpool shit.
Battered them. That should have been 7 or more easily, and that will not have encouraged Man City about anything whatsoever. Now they've got, you know, we go into Europe, we got Munich, they've got Schalke, there's a ton more games, they've got the FA Cup games, they've got this big quadruple thing weighing on the shoulders, and you know, will they do it? They might do. If there's never been a team better equipped to do it all, but we've added Liverpool, just get back to the business of what they do, and then for me, this is the title challenge, I think, is very much a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be hard work, but hopefully we're there come the end of the season.
No, exactly. You've summed it up brilliantly there, is that you just tunnel vision, I think, from now until the end of the season.
Yeah.
It's, of course, I had notifications on for Spurs and City from Christmas. turned Spurs off about 2 weeks ago, and I turned City off yesterday. I was like, I'm done with this. It's a point where
it just makes you miserable. Exactly. There's nothing to be gained from watching Man City at the moment, unless you're about to play them and you want to scout them. Other than that, watch Liverpool, support Liverpool. If you need a game of footy to watch, go and watch a game from like last season. Go and watch Liverpool highlights. Go and watch Liverpool YouTube videos. Other things. Watch films and movies and read books and cuddle your family and go off for long walks. Do all those things. Listen, thanks very much for watching and for subscribing to the YouTube channel. If you want more content, we have got you covered in the Final Word Show. If there's any players or any topics we've not discussed here that you want to be discussed, leave them in the comment section underneath. I'll pull them into the Final Word Show tomorrow and we'll cover them there. As I say, it's free for the first month, so go over there, sign up and get a 4-2 Final Word. What more could you ask for? Bailey, thank you very much.
No problem.
See you all very soon. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.